We're going to have a great day, I believe. We're going to talk about an issue that has plagued man from the very beginning, and we will easily be able to look back and see what that particular problem is. Man has not changed, even from the very beginning. You know, as I often say, our means of transportation has certainly improved, and along with our communication, that too has improved throughout time. But one thing that has not changed with man is his basic nature. And those things are with us today, and the evil one is quite aware of that, and he continued to use his tricks on God's people to prevent us from doing the things that God would have us to do. So on this morning, I want to take you back to the year of 1992. Now, a lot of us that's here will look back and say, well, that's a long time, and we can go back that far. But we thank God for the years, right, that we're able to look back and to be able to remember the things that happened way back in that particular year. 1992 was a special year in the sports world, if you may remember. Every so often, every 4 years, we get the thing that we call the Olympics. And the Olympics is a big deal. Whoever is awarded that, what country, goes to great length to improve things all around them, because the world is coming and the world is going to be looking in. Well, in 1992, in Barcelona, there was the Olympics was there, and there was a great team. And I want to give you some names. And I'm going to give you some names, and you tell me if you remember these names, because you don't really have to be a sports fan, not a big one anyway, to perhaps have heard of these names. Christian Laettner, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Larry Bird, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, Clyde Drexler, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Chris Mullin, Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson. You remember those names? Way back in 1992, all those names and players came together to form the 1992 USA Olympic team. They have said that this was the greatest collection of basketball players that ever was assembled. This team was so dominant that whenever they walked on the court, their opponents, rather than gear and get ready to play them, was more interested in asking for an autograph. I mean, that's how popular, that's how famous they were back then. And the story has it that their coach, a man by the name of Chuck Daly, who was the Detroit Piston coach, but was there given to lead the USA team. The story has it that he went to Michael Jordan, probably the most famous name of all of those, and asked him if he would be the captain and be the face, the public face of this team. Well, the story goes that he deferred and said, no, not me. He deferred to Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Chuck Daly said he knew right then that this team was going to be unbeatable, because what they had decided to do and already worked out among themselves were that we're not going to let egos destroy us. And so that team beat every team. The average score was they were 44 points better. And when they walked on and was all amazed to be around them, this team was so focused that didn't play a part in what they did. They crushed them anyway. They were not having it. You see, they were determined to receive a gold medal. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God has his own dream team, and that's what they were known as, the dream team. God has his own dream team in Atlantic Beach. The dream team is the Oceanside Church of Christ. God has his dream team in Arlington, known as the Arlington Road Church of Christ. Wherever God's people meet, that is the dream team. And we are more important. Our mission is more important than their mission work. You see, they were chasing a gold medal. You and I and God's people are chasing a gold crown because we have a message that the world needs to hear. We need to tell people that God is able to do all things. You see, this team was very successful, and Coach Daly in particular, because he was able to get every one of those superstars to become just stars for the common goal. In other words, they all had to check their egos at the door. You see, if we're going to do God's work, we need to check our egos at the door as well. It is too easy for the devil to come in and to begin to manipulate and use his ways against us. Because ego is a problem and has been a problem from the very beginning. Why do you think that Eve fell to the devil the way she did? Part of it was her ego. She wanted to be just as smart as God, to know right from wrong and all of those things that the devil had promised. Her ego simply took over. And I'm not faulting Eve and I'm not faulting Adam, because that has not changed to this very day. The reason that many things do not get done is because people's ego. I'm reminded of this place several years ago, not that long ago, maybe 2 years ago, when it was announced to us in the men's breakfast that you had started this great thing, that you were going to pick a mission work each month, and that whatever is over that, you were going to give to that. I don't know who thought of that. Somebody thought of that. That was placed in their mind, I believe, by God to that individual who shared it with others, and they said, you know what? For the Oceanside congregation, this sounds like a good thing. And you know the results. I've never heard of anything like that in my life. That needs to be repeated over and over again. That's a story that needs to be told that you all came up with. Well, the devil would come along and try to destroy that work and say, well, wait a minute. Whose idea was that? You see, now they're looking for who should get credit. Here's a novel thought. Give God the credit. Give God the glory. You see, God should get all glory anyway. Am I right? God must be glorified in all things. All good things come from him. The person who decided to share that information, God placed that on his or her mind, and they were able to share it. And it blossomed to a very beautiful thing. But the devil will never rest because people do not change. Let me give you an example. Let's say you are having a little get together and you call up one of your, I'm talking about the church now, you call up one of your brothers and sisters in Christ, say, hey, we're having a little get together and I want you to come over. You know what's likely to come out of the person's mouth right after that? Well, who else is going to be there? See, already they're going to determine if they're going to have a good time, want to be there, based on who's there. Never mind the invite to have you to come over and to share in the good time. No, I can only come if I know who's going to be there. And then if I know who's going to be there, that will determine if I come or not. You see, that's a lot of ego that's not necessary. What's wrong with getting together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowship and have a good time? You see, the devil will not stop. He tries to destroy everything that you and I will be involved in. As I mentioned, the devil has tricks. In fact, he has a bag of tricks. In fact, he has a small bag of tricks. Why? He doesn't need a big bag of tricks. Because the same tricks that he used in the beginning are the same tricks that he's using to this present day. Why? Because man has not changed. Our nature is the same. You see, we still struggle with jealousy, envy, contention, backbiting, gossip, murmuring, rumors, innuendos. We still struggle with that. And that's what the devil will use to destroy God's work. When something comes up that is great, that is good, that needs to happen, rest assured the devil is going to come along with some kind of negativity through someone. Why? To stop the work that needs to be done. We need to give all credit to God. God must be glorified in all things. You know, we love as human beings to be complimented, don't we? We love to hear good job. We love to hear, you know, you're beautiful. We love to hear how nice you are. We love to hear all kind of compliments that would come our way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to return that with, to God be the glory. By the grace of God. I can't do this without the help of God. It is all because of God that these things happen. Yes, I was able to graduate because of the grace of God, by the will of God. Yes, thank you very much. We have a grandbaby that's on the way, and we're praying that this child is healthy, and your child now goes to school, and they make great grades, and they do. What a wonderful job you're doing as a parent. To God be the glory. Give God the glory. You see, God must be glorified. And if God is not glorified, there is a price to pay. And we have a prime example in the Bible. I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And this is the prime example that we can look at, because God is going to have his way. God is able, you see, and God is deserving to be glorified in every good thing that comes our way. It shall always fall off of our lips. To God be the glory. He is the giver of all that is good. To God be the glory. Over in Daniel chapter 2, there was a great king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, you see, was not a part of God's folk. But he was a king on the outside that God chose to come in, who he made mighty to do God's will. And part of Israel's problem was they were disobedient. And so God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to go in and to capture them, to teach them a lesson, to bring them back to God. God used him. Now, I need to say this before I get into this lesson right here. We are in the year 2024. If you haven't noticed, and it's going to really get on you if you haven't noticed, this is an election year. For the president of the United States of America. Am I right? You know what's coming, don't you? You know that it's going to be all kind of things that's going to be said. And we need to understand as God's people that we are citizens of this country, yes. We should prepare ourselves and we should vote as we see fit. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let this voting, don't let who's president, who's sitting in the White House determine your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Better yet, even your personal family. That's how personal people take it. Because here's what we need to understand. After we read this, we're going to understand that God puts in place whom he chooses. So whoever ends up in the White House come this November, no matter who you voted for, that is the person that God wanted in there to do his will. And so we need to understand that. And we're going to show just how that is the case as we read in Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse number 36. You see, when you look at what has happened to this point, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And this dream troubled him because he couldn't understand the dream. And he called in his astrologers and all his wise men to help him to interpret the dream, and they could not. But Daniel, the man of God, could, because God had blessed him. And there was a message that was in the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't understand it. He was struggling. And so now we find in verse number 36 of Daniel chapter 2, we find that he is going to interpret the dream to the king. The Bible says at Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse number 36, this is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are king of kings. Listen now. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. The Bible just said, Daniel interpreted his dream, saying, King, you're the king of kings of your day. You're greater than all of those. You're at the top. You're the golden head of it. God has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. God has given it into your hands. God does the giving. This king, you see, was finding himself, going along, and God chose him to do his will. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar is no different than any other man, especially those of royalty. Every day that you walk and people are whispering, long live the king. The king is wonderful. My king. They worship the king. This is throughout time, right? So when the king begins to hear that day in and day out, sooner or later, it's going to go to his head. And because it goes to your head, you will lose, your whole sense of balance. You don't tend to remember how things came about. We just read in Daniel chapter 2, verse 36 through 38, that God gave him all those things. Well, now flip over to Daniel chapter 4. And let's start reading at verse number 28. Because King Nebuchadnezzar is just like man, whether he's royalty or not. Let him stay in that position long enough, and sooner or later, it's not what God has done, it's what I have done. Listen how he responds at verse number 28 of Daniel chapter 4. It says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and the seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Isn't that what the Bible says? God gives a kingdom to whoever he chooses. It was true then, it's true now. God chooses who's going to be leaders in this world. Each and every one of them. I don't care how evil they may be. God has a will that's going to be done. Give God the glory, you see, because the Bible tells us so. To whomever he chooses, the Bible says, the kingdom of men are given. The Bible says in verse number 33, that very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? The Bible says at verse number 36, at the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. And I was restored. My kingdom and excellent majesty was added to me. Look at verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. God must be glorified. Anyone who goes about thinking that they have done anything outside of what God has given them to do will face the consequences like King Nebuchadnezzar. God must be glorified in all things. That's why I said earlier, it's very important for you and I to return every good thing that will come our way, every good compliment or whatever, every great achievement that we have done. We need to turn around and say, by the grace of God, to God be the glory. I know a few people like that. When I talk to them, very rarely do they say anything. They say, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. They'll say, if the Lord's will. What are they saying? This is in God's hand, not my hand. To God be the glory. God must be glorified. You see, we can't go with an ego. If we're going to do God's work, the ego must be checked at the door. We must understand that God gets the glory. God gets the credit. And when we do that, great things can happen, like that great ideal that originated from here. Greater things can be done as well. When we come together collectively and give God the praise and give God the glory and turn around and say, let us put our heads together. Let us think it through. Let us do God's will. Will God have us to do this? Then and only then will the Oceanside Church of Christ be the dream team in Atlantic Beach. There's nothing like you. The gospel is taught here. The truth is here. The world needs to hear what you have to say. You have your corner. We have our corner. And we all need to come together and understand that this message that we have is true and is able to save souls. We need to understand and speak boldly. To God be the glory in all things. It is a great thing to be a part of the Lord's church. We know that we have worked out our own salvation. Each one of us have a story to tell. We've gone through all that we need to go through. Surely the devil was trying to stop you along the way. He tried his best. But in spite of his tricks, we saw the gospel and we said yes to Jesus. That makes us part of the dream team. Oh, we may not have the famous names like I just mentioned, but you know who knows our name? God Almighty. God knows our name. And he makes no mistakes. And God is no respecter of person either. I don't care what these people have accomplished on this earth. If they have not obeyed the gospel, they're going to stand before a God that they're going to have to give an account for. Aren't you glad that you and I have obeyed the gospel? It's the greatest thing that you ever do in your life. There's nothing greater you would do. I don't care what you have achieved, what you have accomplished, what man has endowed on you is not more important than saying yes to Jesus. So we're here today and we speak boldly. Because God must get the glory. We have a story to tell to those who were here. God is God. He loved man from the very beginning. He loved us so much that he was willing to send his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to come down to this earth, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. No greater love has been shown or demonstrated than what God has done. That's why he must be glorified. God sent Jesus. And he said in these last days, don't listen to the prophets. listen to my son. Well, what did you say, Jesus? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, I don't know where people get off trying to tell God how to run his business. You see, that's what God said in his word. That's what our Lord Jesus said in the last days. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus promised to build one church, and that's all that he built. Check your egos at the door. People come along and read what it says and tell you that's not what it says. Check your ego at the door. You are not calling the shots. God Almighty is. Jesus has spoken, and that's what he said. And that's what we're going to follow. We're going to obey. The Lord promised to build one church, and that church bears his name. It's known to us as the Church of Christ. And any church that is faithful to the Lord, you see, in whatever part of the world that you are in, you are the dream team. God has put you there to do a work, to send out the gospel, to save souls. And that's what it's all about. You see, you come by hearing his word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that is the reward of them that diligently seek him. Then you need to repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13 and verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you have to confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, the verses are 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you confess to me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Then we need to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Peter told them on that day, that great day, the day of Pentecost, when they realized they put the Son of God to death, they were doomed and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the answer. It was the answer on the day of Pentecost, and it's the answer today. No man can change that. That was given on that day for that occasion for all men from that day and going forward to be right with the Lord. Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? That is how you get your sins washed away. That is how you come into Christ. The Lord will add you to the church, the very one that he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. That's where the Lord is going to add you, all over the world, because that's what the Bible teaches, you see. Then we need to remain faithful to the end. Revelation chapter 2 and verses 10 talks about that gold crown. Yes, that one that we need, that we're so searching for. We want to be saved in the end. Be thou faithful unto death. If you're here today and you have not walked with the Lord, but you want to return, good news, great news for you today. Come on home. James chapter 5 and verse 16 tell us what to do. When we do not walk, the Bible says to pray one for another. There's healing in prayer, you see. We can come together and pray for one another. Pray and God will put you back where you need to be. God is so good. He is so good. And that is precisely why God must be glorified. And we can't glorify him until we check our egos at the door. Can we help you today? If you're in need of prayer, you know someone is. Why don't you come here together? We stand and sing the invitational song.